commencing countdown.
3, 2, 1.
This is the Contracting Experience. Connecting government contracting professionals to the world around them through conversations with acquisition influencers, insights into evolving hot topics, and sharing lessons learned from the field.
Welcome, podcast listeners. On this very special episode of The Contracting Experience, we sit down for one last time with Major General Allie Trevino, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Contracting, Office of the Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics. Today, we might be setting aside the usual policy discussions to celebrate Major General Trevino's remarkable career and her tremendous impact on the contracting community. This is her farewell episode, her swan song on the podcast, if you will, and we're honored to have her with us one last time. Welcome, Major General Trevino. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Rob. The honor is all mine. I am so excited to be here and talk to our community and talk to you.
All right. Excellent, ma'am. Yeah, we've had you on the podcast a few times now. I believe a couple as the AFICC commander, and at least two, maybe three times now in your seat at AQC. So, you ready to dive in?
Yes.
All right, ma'am. So, kind of some softball questions this time around, but as we reflect on your time at AQC, or even looking back at your distinguished career, let me just give some highlights on that, right? Air Force Academy grad, DG, Distinguished Graduate coming out of the Naval Postgraduate School, Distinguished Graduate coming out of the Eisenhower School of Leadership, multiple deployments, multiple command and leadership assignments, wrapping up as the head of Air Force Contracting. So phenomenal career. And then, as in, culminating there at AQC. So what accomplishments, whether throughout your career or at AQC, what moments stand out that you are particularly meaningful to you or that you're most proud of?
So I think, you know, reflecting on this, Rob, is really when I came into the position 3 years ago, we really impressed upon our team how important it was, you know, not just the alignment, prioritization, and simplification, but on day one, giving folks the room to look at what we had been doing, what we should be doing, and what we maybe need to stop doing. And I think that a part with the simplification piece was something that I'm so proud of, because a lot of people have taught me that that's what you should do, and then you go in and do it. But then people will look at you and like, is she being honest? Does she really want us to identify that information? You know, does that say something bad about the previous person? But it's really allowing everyone to have an open mind and to kickstart a new, you know, the future, but with buy-in. And that's what it was for. And that's what I'm actually the most proud of, is how we looked at our flight plan through that lens of, again, not just alignment, prioritization, and simplification, but truly simplifying it so that we were looking at and doing things most efficiently and effectively, but based on feedback. And that's not always done everywhere. And we did it, and people were open. They were honest. They gave us a lot of good feedback, and it was feedback that we needed. And then it allowed us to kind of launch off from there and make it really, impactful for the next 3 years. And then that's always, again, what you then set up your successor for. In my case, Brigadier General Lance French. So he can do the same thing, or he'll do it his own way. But it's really helpful because it allows, again, that, that buy-in from our team, and that's the only way to get anything done. So I'm really proud about that.
No, excellent, ma'am. Yeah, absolutely. And what one of my, you like my observations. So one of my observations there was of your nearly 9,000 contracting professionals out there, right? The mission focused business leaders, the change agents, the mission enablers, you have provided every one of them a seat at the table, right? Where if they wanted to get involved in a KR, or a flight plan objective, that door has always been open. If they want to sit in the board of directors meeting, that door has been opened as well. So again, on behalf of those 9,000 contracting professionals out there, thank you for those opportunities. And I think that goes a long way into your alignment, prioritization, simplification, and getting feedback from the field. So kudos to you on that, ma'am. All right. So on the flip side, is there anything that you really wanted to get done and just either ran out of time or ran out of bandwidth or other circumstances? Is there anything out there that was on your list that you just wish we could have got that one closed up?
So I'm pretty happy with everything that we accomplished, but I guess I call myself a lifelong learner. I am a change agent. I'm a proponent of change. And so you can't stay stagnant. So everything can be improved upon. And I'll just say, you know, like in the spirit of integration, where we kicked off integrating SCOs last year, and then just integration across all of the department and how all of our senior contracting officials are integrating. But we're also taking it down a notch to our OSFs, our COCOs, our commanders. Again, it's probably making sure that everybody has a seat at the table, but this integration piece goes a step further, where you're not just collaborating and communicating, but you're making sure that everybody has that same information. It does feed into alignment, and it does feed into prioritization, and it does feed into simplification. But I think that we, as a department and as the Department of the Air Force contracting, we can always integrate better. And again, to truly simplify it, I'll say, let's just integrate better across the Air Force and Space Force. Okay, that's one step. And how can we integrate better? And that in and of itself, again, I'm proud of where we've come, but that means that my successor, General French, will then have the opportunity to kick it up a notch and take it even farther. So if you do everything, then there's nothing left for anyone to do. And that is clearly not what is happening here. There's a lot of opportunity out there. I love it.
All right. Excellent, ma'am. Yeah. And speaking of Brigadier General Lance French, right, we'll get him on the podcast here in the near future. But you've always seemed to have a great relationship with him. In fact, he was your previous successor there at AFICC. So that leadership transition model has already proven to be extremely successful. So can you share any insights on how the latest transition is going? Have you given him any advice other than do more?
Right. Do more, do better than me. And I think that's probably the best advice would be when people say, oh, I have big shoes to fill. My response is and will always be, no, you have your own shoes to fill. Do not try to fill my shoes. It's like when everybody says, if you can be anyone, be yourself, because everybody else is taken. Just be yourself. Follow your heart. Take care of our contracting workforce. And that is what I know he will do. It's his first day in the office today. We welcomed him, and he's transitioning now and in processing. He's going to be awesome for the contracting career field. He has a heart for contracting professionals, our mission-focused business leaders, everything it is about DAF contracting, understanding change agency. And it's going to be in his own words, and he's going to modify that to tailor it to him. And it's going to be tremendous. And I will be watching from the sidelines, but he's an excellent leader, a tremendous intellect. And I'm just excited that my successor is Lance, because he'll be able to take it to the next level.
All right. Awesome, man. Yeah. Again, high praise. And I'm not going to use the big shoes to fill, because you've already said that he's got his own shoes to fill. But yeah, from what I know about
him. You don't want to wear size 6 shoes anyway. Nobody does except for me.
Nope. We might get into this with General French on his episode, but yeah, I sat next to him in Con 101 about a million years ago.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
We'll see if he wants to share any of those stories. I doubt it. But so shifting gears a little bit, ma'am, you probably can't go into a lot of specifics. I don't think we know a lot of specifics, but the Air Force is going through another potential, possible, more than likely, some sort of restructure to align with a potential DOD restructure. Any idea how that might impact the contracting workforce, or do you have any hopes for how it might impact the contracting workforce?
So I don't have any details specifically to the contracting workforce or even to the acquisition workforce. I do know that we have the Revolutionary FAR overhaul. We have the Acquisition Reform Executive Order. We are working not just with the Air Force acquisition leadership, but also with the DOD acquisition leadership. And so my advice in that area will be something that is akin to a very helpful advice in other areas too, meaning that you can't predict the future. None of us are prognosticators. Some of us are very good at making predictions, and the people that make the best predictions are those who keep an open mind. I've shared that book in the past by Think Again by Adam Grant. And he talks about the best prognosticators in the world, those that are able to predict who will win the World Series, who will win a certain, you know, horse race, who will, you fill in the blank. And they have two things in common. One, of course, is their track record, but their other one is the ability to keep an open mind, which means that they can bring in new data, process it quickly, and then make new predictions. And so they don't hold on to the past, which is the sunk cost fallacy. They don't, you know, double down. A lot of people will do that of like, this is the only idea. This is my way or the highway, and you should believe in me, and this is the only way we're going. Well, what happens if you're wrong? So I say that all because I've learned this thing about giving yourself and then giving your leaders decision space. And when you do that, you don't live in a binary world. It's not black or white. It's not yes or no. You allow this opportunity, and I talk a lot about opportunity, but you allow this opportunity within the decision space to come up with ideas that either are hybrid approaches or courses of action that you can't be tailored, but you're also giving your leaders decision space to back themselves out of a corner instead of you putting them in that corner. And I think us trying to predict exactly what contracting and acquisition will look like in 6 months or in a year or go 3 years out, what we can agree on in that commonality is we need acquisition flexibilities. We need to train our workforce. We need our workforce. They are invaluable. And we want to make sure they're trained, ready, proficient, and ready in the sense that when something comes their way, they can react if it's coming at them fast, but they can also then proactively, through that decision space, give themselves room if what they had anticipated doesn't come to fruition. So that is one of the most important things that I will just like to, I could stress that you can't predict the future with certainty of 100%. Even the best predictors and prognosticators are only reaching, 50 to 60% based on a lot of data. And when there is no data, you have to give yourself time to collect that data. But while you're collecting that data, you can give yourself decision space, and you're still acting, you're still making movement, you're still contributing, you're still doing something, and you're executing with finesse and with tremendous expertise. And then as that new data comes in, then you'll be able to pivot. So I think that is how I will predict the future. I will do it with grace, and I will do it knowing full well with humility that I do not have all the answers, but I know that we have the right people on our team to do anything that the Air Force asks us of.
Nope. Excellent, ma'am. Yeah, thanks for that rundown. And yeah, absolutely correct, right? I believe you do as well, that we have one of the most resilient workforces in the world, right? You think,
absolutely.
Government contracting, government acquisition, Air Force, to be more specific, you look at over the last, 5, 10, 15 years, all of the changes that came our way, and we continue to adapt and excel every step of the way. So again, totally agree with you on that, ma'am. Excellent.
Keep making magic, keep expecting change, just be as adaptable as you can as it's coming. And I love it. The resiliency, Rob, is perfect.
Yep, excellent, ma'am. So here's something I think our listeners enjoy, at least I do. You might not so much, but you've been always transparent with us on the podcast, sharing life lessons learned and lessons throughout your career. We'll let our listeners go back to previous episodes to hear those stories, but there was one with your first warrant board. There was another experience at the academy that you shared the last time around. Do you have any more of those learning moments that folks could maybe relate to that, hey, wait, I thought I was the only one going through that? Do you have any other words of wisdom or stories you could share in that regard?
So I'll give you one story, and I do have a lot because I've learned so many lessons throughout my career, and just, you know, truly through failure. And this was one where I was a second first lieutenant. I was the first lieutenant because I was in my second duty assignment. So I started out at Scott Air Force Base, then I went to Brooks, and my third duty assignment was Turkey. But while I was at Brooks, I had thought that the best place that I could be was to go back to the Air Force Academy and be a management instructor. And I wanted to do that for two reasons. I wanted to do it because I did not have a very good experience at the Air Force Academy because it was hard for me to adapt at the time, which is why I love change and talking about change so much, is because by getting through the Air Force Academy, I learned how important it was to change and to not be so rigid. But because of that, I wanted to go back and teach at the Air Force Academy, and I wanted to be a management instructor. And that was my goal. You know, I talk about my short-term, medium, and long-term goals. We've talked about our individual development plans before, and I talk about goals, personal and professional. Well, my professional goal as a first lieutenant was to go back to the Air Force Academy. And I knew I had to get my master's, so I got my master's, and I think I got one A-, and so I knew that I was going to get in on my grade point average, and I had to be, you know, I had to make sure that my GMAT score was acceptable, and that they, you know, would find me a relative, you know, good bet to say, okay, let's bring her in for an interview. So I filled out my application when I was at Brooks, and I never got a phone call. So this was my dream in 1997, 1998. I got my master's in 1998. I got a double master's, and I thought, oh, that'll make me even, you know, more lucrative. And I didn't even get a phone call. So, you know, that was my dream. I kept it on my goals list, and then I went off to Turkey. And I was in Izmir, Turkey. It was a 15-month assignment. And I'll never forget, it's 1999, September 30th. This was before Con IT, and this is when you could be there all night. If money came in, you could spend the money. And I am sitting at my desk at 2 o'clock in the morning in Izmir, Turkey time, and my phone rings. And I pick up the phone. And it's an instructor from the Air Force Academy. And he's like, is Captain Trevino there? And I'm like, speaking. And they said, this is so-and-so from the management department, and we would like to invite you for an interview. So it was like a year and a half later from when I first submitted my application. So first, never stop dreaming. Second, I asked the person, I said, do you know what time it is here? And they're like, no, where are you? And I said, I'm in Izmir, Turkey. It's 2 in the morning. And they're like, oh, well, you're pretty dedicated. And I was like, well, yeah, I'm in contracting. We have to be here this late and we're spending your money wisely. So I'm glad you called. It was like 6 p.m., 5 p.m. his time. And he invited me out, and this was September. And then I came out in like December. So my interview was actually in December, but that, you know, so they were filling out all the people that they were going to come in. So I was so excited. I mean, I was like, okay, I'm going to go to Izmir, and then I'm going to go to the Air Force Academy, and I'm going to go back. And I told you there were two reasons I wanted to do that. One was to go back because I was a management major, and then to give back. The other one was to help cadets. And I really wanted to help cadets because I knew and remembered how hard it was to go through the Air Force Academy. And I wanted to be there for them to help them kind of navigate the complexities and the intricacies. And then again, just the hardship of being a student and trying to graduate. Well, so I go back in December. Long story short, they did not hire me. And I was crushed. My dream was crushed. How could you not hire me? I've done everything you asked me to do. Well, they didn't hire me because, I mean, I'm sure the whole host of reasons, but one of the things that the Air Force Academy does very well is to make sure that when they're hiring instructors, that they're looking at your groups because they want to take care of their instructors and they can't take care of all as you get closer to promotion. So if you hired a captain and then you're going to two captains are going to meet their majors board. And then that's across all of the departments at the Air Force Academy. You're going to have a bunch of captains in the same year group vying for the same limited, you know, not just stratifications, but push notes to be able to be competitive on that promotion board. So they already had a member of the 1993 class. She was a good friend of mine. And she actually helped, you know, navigate me through the interview process that day. And we got to spend some time together. And it was because of her, really. They already had that year group slot filled. And so I was, you know, politely declined to be an instructor. And then I got my next assignment. And so the first one, again, is never give up on your dreams. The second one is feeling like you're crushed and you're not really. Because the third thing that usually happens is something better behind the door that you were even dreaming of. And had I gone to the Air Force Academy and been an instructor, I would not have gone to Hanscom. I would not have earned my unlimited warrant, which is the story I told you about where I failed my first warrant board and then successfully picked myself up off the floor and then able to meet the second board and earn that warrant. But there were so many things that launched me off of that Hanscom assignment that had I got what I wanted, it may not have really been what I wanted. And so sometimes I think that's what, you know, life teaches us about the one thing that we think we want, but we're not giving ourselves decision space. We're taking away that decision space by putting so many eggs in one basket for this one thing when there's really a host of things and there's a hybrid of host of things that we don't even think about and nor could we ever even dream about because these other things haven't happened yet. And you really riff off of those. I'm not a musician, but I understand the term. And you will come at a point where if you realize that, stop having so much control, that's kind of where the magic is. And that's what happened to me. I was not able to go back and be a teacher at the Air Force Academy, but for the last 10 years, I've been going back to the Air Force Academy, giving back into cadets, mentoring them, mentoring other instructors, helping them, recruiting into DAF contracting, because there was a few years where graduates weren't allowed to come into Air Force contracting. And just being there to let them know that there's life on the other side of graduation. And as a second lieutenant, first lieutenant, captain, who thinks they want something so badly that I'm standing in front of them today as a major general because of the things that I thought were exactly what I needed. I didn't need it all. And they turned out even better than I could even think about.
All right. Excellent story, ma'am. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. And again, great tie-in back to, you know, being flexible, not all the eggs in one basket, not having a single plan without other options on the table. And again, I think that's something our audience can definitely relate to, right? We probably all have not gotten every assignment we wanted. We probably didn't all get every award we thought we deserved, right? And sometimes we let those things crush us, but like you said, a positive attitude, a fresh outlook, looking at other things in life that, you know, there might be a bigger picture in play. So great story there, ma'am. Thank you very much for sharing that. So we're nearing the end here, but how about the farewell softball questions, right? What are you most looking forward to in retirement? What will you miss most upon reflecting on your career? What are your plans for the future, right? You talked about the IDP. What is your IRP, your individual retirement plan?
Well, Ray and I are moving to south of Nashville, Tennessee, and we looked at many locations. So again, kept it flexible. We had a dream list of characteristics that we wanted. So we knew that we wanted all four seasons. We love cold weather. We love hot weather. We love spring. We both love the fall. I'm, of course, an end of fiscal year baby, and he's a December baby. And so we love the fall. And that area of the country was exactly what we were looking for. So it's funny because people ask us, you know, well, why are you moving there? Who do you know? Are you from there? And the answer to those is we don't know anybody. We know one neighbor and we know our realtor, and we're just looking forward to diving into the community, to learning more about the community and realizing that we will be there for more than 3 years, which is the typical Air Force assignment. And after 32 years in on active duty, 4 years at the Air Force Academy, so for 36 years, the longest assignment I ever had was 4 years, and I had 17 assignments in 32 years on active duty, but I had 17 assignments in 29 years. Wow. And so that was a lot. I think my brain, you know, has that thing where it's like, hey, it's time to move, but we're actually looking forward to not having to move and to getting rid of some of the clutter and getting rid of some of the things, the excess baggage that you carry around of like, oh, I might need this. And I am really looking forward to that. I'm thrilled. The move-in time, and we've never bought a new house. And so just the growing pains for that, but trying to lean back into our punch list of, you know, construction contracting and try to use some of that and just the knowledge of understanding contract terms and conditions as we were buying our house was really helpful. So I think it's the practical applications of contracting and acquisition that will help us in this next chapter. And I believe in turning the page I am an incurable optimist. I'm a realistic optimist. I've shared before, but I am just excited because it's a new chapter. It's new almost everything, but with my husband of 25 years this November, and we'll be turning that page of the next chapter together. So that's exciting. What I'll miss most is, of course, the people. I will miss the people. That's all I will miss. The problems and dilemmas will always be there. The people behind us, investing in them, you are the next generation. And I know that you have the chops to do all of it. And so I'll miss being a part of that action. When you go, you know, 90 miles an hour and then you stop and then, you know, you're not going 90 miles an hour again. That's hard to slow down. And so I will just have to be patient with myself again. And my spouse, Ray, will have to be patient with me because I'm sure he'll have to slow me down. But I love to cook. I have already been looking at recipes of what I want to do. And they don't have to be long recipes, but just cooking and baking with the ingredients and whole foods that I can eat. and, you know, reducing that processed foods that we all get at the airport, and then, you know, just kind of living more of the kind of things that you want to eat. And I'm looking forward to that, but I will miss the people most of all. And I will not be in the arena with you, so that is something that I will miss, but I will always be cheering you on from the sidelines, and I will be watching with gratitude every single step of the way. And I'm available to, you can contact me on Facebook or LinkedIn, and always happy to help. But I think that we'll be ready for that next chapter, and I'll be cheering on all of you from the sidelines.
All right, ma'am. Excellent. Yeah. And again, absolutely enjoy it. Absolutely well-deserved. Best of luck to you and Ray there in this next phase of life. So it'll be exciting for you, I'm sure. So finally, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners? Any parting shout outs, any what I call the drop the mic moment, any words of wisdom to the men and women who have served under your leadership all these years?
So I think we've talked about it a little bit. We talked about decision space, always giving yourself decision space and your leaders decision space, your team. And then we talked about integration, learning how to integrate, learning how to build relationships, communicate, know what you know who else needs to know it, tell them. And if you haven't told them, come up with a plan on how you're going to reach out to them. But the last thing I would say, and I was thinking about that this morning as I was walking down to the gym, is really, you know, we talk about critical thinking, and I am a huge proponent, again, of doing the critical thinking up front, but knowing if you don't have the time to do it, that you're probably going to take shortcuts. But the word itself, and I think I saw this on a poster once, but I've never forgotten it. And I think about it all the time. Before you do anything, think. And it's the acronym THINK. And it's, you know, before you do something, is it true? Do you have the data? Have you done your homework? Is it helpful? Are you making it better? Are you improving upon it? Is it more effective or more efficient? Is someone going to benefit from it? Can you explain what that benefit is and quantify it? The I is what I've really gleaned onto, is just, is it inspiring? Are you inspired? Are you inspiring others? Is what you're doing inspirational? Do people want to do it with you? Can you create a movement? Can you bring other change agents along with you? Inspire them, because we need everybody. The N is it necessary? Do you need to do it? Again, I talked about earlier, is like, what are you doing? What should you be doing? What are you not doing? What should you stop doing? Is it necessary? Is there something that you could stop doing that'll make your life easier or make everybody else's life in DAF contracting better? And therefore, it makes it better for our mission partners, our airmen, our guardian, our joint warfighters. And the last one is my absolute favorite, and my whole team will tell you, and just, you know, a shout out to my former deputy, Scott Callisti, my current deputy, MK Robinson, shout out to all the SCOs, Lance French, Tony Everidge, Heidi Bullock, I could go on, Ed Keller, Natalie Riedel, I mean, we have Joe Fountain, I mean, we have 27 SCOs, so I'm not going to name everybody, but we need everybody. And I talk about this all the time, and it's kindness. And kindness is not being or walking over things that shouldn't be said because you want to be nice and you want to be liked and you fill in the blank. It's about having tough conversations. It's about setting expectations, but sharing them, and holding people accountable, but holding yourself accountable. You have to be kind to yourself, but you have to be kind to others. And I think that that is something that we can all embrace, and truly understanding what that difference is. If I want you to be quiet and I can just tell you, you know, oh yes, Rob, that's exactly what, you know, I got to bring in my Robstacles, right? I'm gonna. That Robstacle's not there. It's just a molehill. Don't you worry. It's not a mountain. I'm not being honest with you. I'm not being transparent with you. I'm not helping you grow. I'm not telling you what your weaknesses or your strengths are, or where your areas are that you could improve upon. I'm literally not spending time with you. I'm just moving on to make you either be quiet, stop talking to me or nagging me, or I'm being dishonest with you. And this kindness is something that is so important. It's so hard, but it is one of the most important things that we can do as leaders. We have to be able to do that. We have to have that inner strength to be able to be kind. And we have to know when we're being nice, which is not kind at all. And so just think before you act, think before you speak. And those would be my parting words, in addition to continue to take care of each other. And I'm so proud of you, the next generation, and everybody today that is doing DAF contracting and contributing to the greater good is really, it is all about deterring conflict, projecting power, and delivering integrated contracting capability. But it's also about making sure that we have the people that we need to be able to execute the mission. And that is what you're doing every day. So continue to think.
Excellent, ma'am. Great way to wrap us up here. So thank you so much for sharing your time, your experiences, and insights, as you always do, with us on the Contracting Experience Podcast. It's been an absolute, truly pleasure having you, ma'am. Great conversation. Deeply grateful for your service at AQC, as well as your service throughout the Air Force. Best of luck to you and Ray in this next phase of life. I have no doubt you will enjoy it. But you could have gotten all four seasons in Ohio. Sometimes we get all of them in one day.
I'm going to be five and a half hours away, and I'm going to be driving up all the time. We love Ohio.
Excellent, ma'am. And, your leadership and dedication have inspired countless individuals in the Department of the Air Force and the contracting community. As I mentioned, you provided that open door to over 9,000 of us to have a seat at the table. We just need to reach out and ask. So on behalf of the Contracting Experience Podcast, all of our listeners and subscribers, thank you so much for tuning in today. And Major General Trevino, we extend our heartfelt wishes for all the best in your future endeavors. And to all of our podcast listeners, followers, and subscribers, thank you for tuning in. If you have any feedback, suggestions for topics, or future guests you would like to hear on the podcast, you can submit those via email to thecontractingexperience@gmail.com. As a reminder, you can subscribe to the Contracting Experience Podcast from any of your podcast listening platforms. Be sure to subscribe to receive updates and automatic downloads so you don't miss a single episode. I'm your host, Rob Lorton, from the AFMC Contracting Digital Division, and I hope you can join us again on our upcoming episodes. Until then, stay tuned and stay connected.